We are live. It's 4 seconds here since we're live. I usually like to check and see if it's going live on YouTube, but I just enjoy the conversations too much that I forget. I'm like, people will come when they'll come. For now, let's enjoy it. Trevor, thank you so much for this. You didn't have to do it. You know, you could have said no. You could have said, the man, let's just continue our personal chats. Let's just continue our personal conversations. But you agreed to be here, and for that, I'm very grateful. I have a feeling that I will find out things about myself in this conversation and find out things I didn't even know about you in this conversation. And usually we do it live, you know, it's on YouTube and on Facebook and all that. But for anybody who is listening to this, the recording, you can always get this on Spotify and you can always check it out and get the whole conversation. But Trevor, let's begin at the beginning. We've known each other since, I think, from my perspective, since 2012. But I would love to hear the story of how we met and what your first impressions of me were before we became this party men now, after like 10 years still chatting. Yeah.
You met them indeed, Chasa, and you can imagine. So it was one day, you know, when you get into university, or like, university. Then we were for a class, I think it was photojournalism class. And I recall maybe Amphi, one of the smallest Amphis.
They're 250? Around, is it 150A or one of those? I don't know. Yeah.
Around open commons at that place.
Yeah.
So I was seated. You came in. That's Chacha Kamga. I didn't know your name. You're just a personality. You're coming down. You had your back. I'm like, this guy is looking so corporate. Then you sat down. The word is you unraveled your laptop. You unraveled. Yeah, we're just us and stuff. The class was, you know, the normal noisy thing. We're just memory here and there. And then the prof posed the question. Then there's you, Kamga. You're just like, you know, at times during classes, people are talking here and there and stuff. Then when you stood up to answer, the class had some silence. Me, I was a very distracted person. I was then you were at the front of the class. Then you were saying what to communication has gone up and down. When you were done, you sounded so intelligent. We do not, most of us don't understand what you said. Then Kamga, you didn't as much as, because the class was like, wow, who is this? I was like, oh, mommy, I'm going to be last in this class. So when you sat down, you didn't as much as look left or right. You just sat down, focused on your laptop. You're just doing your things. I was like, okay. My impression, this is what.
Oh, man. So that was the first impression you had.
And the first impression was like, you're this serious corporate guy. Like, you're not here to play. And,
What changed for you? Like, what? Because the way I remember it, when I think of that time, first of all, it's very blurry. And one of the cool things, I keep saying, is like, you're the only friend I got in GMC. Like, I know a lot of people. But you're the only person that I still talk to and that we've been talking throughout this whole time. So I'm curious to know how that changed. Like, how did it even become? Because I know we connected on, I think it was video games and anime, but I don't remember how.
I remember the first day after a class.
Yeah.
So when the class was done, you came to us and were like, hey, what's up? I looked, I said, this man is going to talk, he's going to start talking sense to me. Then you ask me a question, you're like, do you watch animes? I'm like, hey, this man. I said, you're like, then do I play video games? I was like, yes. I'm like, this guy is interesting at the end of the day. Then that's how we started discussing about rock.
Yeah.
And everything. That's how the bond started getting in with that bit. And by the second year of our journalism course, we were closer now. Like,
yeah.
Getting closer to my cité. I don't know if you did that intentionally or just.
Who knows? It's like God was planting his seeds without us even realizing what was going on. Because I moved to White House because I was trying to get closer to school, which means I got closer to you. You are the, is it ever was down in Dirty South. So what was that? What state was it again that you were in?
E and H.
And that's how, I think it's that second year that we also studied together. We had the group study. Yeah. All right. Before we get into this whole nostalgia, I think there's first of all lots of stories are going to come out. For those who are listening, right, who don't know you, for me, you're my guy from like way back when, and you've gone through all these stages of finishing journalism school, working in corporate Cameroon, becoming this bodybuilder, basically. And now I'll be like, this guy is basically a citizen of heaven at this point. But for those who don't know you, right? Those who don't know Trevor, those who have no idea why I even brought you in the first place, how would you introduce yourself to these people?
Okay. I am Emmanuel Trevor, a trained journalist, and I want to say right.
Well, that's your personality right there. I'm glad that nothing has changed so far. That's the thing about that I liked about you from the very beginning, is that you were just a cool guy. Like I said, cool in the description, everything. Sometimes the people that you meet and they're just uptight, and they're just, and I know I'm an uptight guy, like that one for sure. But you're a cool guy. Like you're a guy who gets along with nearly everybody. Even when you don't agree with them, you don't try to forcibly find like a problem to like prove a point. And when you don't agree, you make it there, but you don't go out of your way to disturb people, to make people feel bad or to make people feel weird. And I thought that was a really cool thing. And especially because the girls just liked you. It's like, wow, this guy, he's just, and then you were dancing. I was like, this guy has to give me some of these tricks, because clearly there's something that he's doing that I don't understand. I need to pick up on, because I was that. There was a dancing. You were, I think, were you social? Now I'm trying to remember all these things. But anyway, for those who don't know who Trevor is, Trevor has gone through different stages of, I guess, growth. And the reason why we're here today is because that growth has come to a point where we connected now at a level that I never thought was possible. Like, I never imagined, I never experienced it, that in my life, Trevor will be the one who would share Bible verses that will lead me to actually going to seek the Bible. We'll be talking about our struggles and talking about the verses and just trying to encourage each other as Christians. So before we get, I'm sure that's going to get at some point in this conversation, but I'm wondering for you, Trevi, how did your journey, like, how has friendships, like, what, let's start at the beginning. How would you define friendships, like, for you, your own definition, not the dictionary definition, just your own personal opinion of what a friendship is? And how has that changed over time, especially from the lens of faith?
Okay. You know, as someone very dear to me used to tell me, I could be very aloof when it concerns certain things, and especially more on the compassionate aspect of it. And thanks to my total belief in Jesus Christ, my Christian faith, I realized how important it is to be compassionate towards one another, especially those who deem to be our close ones. So with that, my experience as a friend to anyone, as a brother, as even a companion, a lifetime companion with someone, has changed. In this context, we're talking about friendship. And what I realized is that a friend is a gift from God. A friend is a gift from God. And the ability to be good, to be a good friend, it's virtuous, is still a gift from God. You see, many times we are like, this my friend does these things that annoy me. We hardly get back to ourselves to brainstorm on the possible things that we could do that probably disrupts this friendliness. Now, the number one friend we have, for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, we know that the number one friend we have is Jesus Christ. And we are called to get towards him, because when we get towards him, first of all, the Christian life is a challenge. It's a challenging one. It's not an easy one, because you could go through difficult moments and you're expected to brave them, because you know that this divine entity that is absolute is with you, and he is the one who permits you to go through these difficult times. And then you forego some things, some pleasures that you like to indulge in. Why? Because you love this, your friend, who is also your master and savior, Jesus Christ. And when you've done these things and more, what happens? Jesus invited us to love him first before any other person. Before even the friends we're talking about, before our parents, before our wives, so for those who have wives and husbands before them. Why? Because once you've loved him more and you've experienced these things I mentioned, he now teaches you how to love. He teaches you how to be a good friend to your friends. You become an absolute treasure to those who call you my friend.
That is a wonderful way of looking at it. And for those who are listening who are on this journey to get to know their faith, to get to know Jesus, by the way, feel free at any point, if you think of a verse that you can share with people to assist them on this path, don't hesitate to bring them up. Because a lot of difficulties I think people face is that when they choose to become Christians, or at least my experience is that you look at, oh, I'm losing these things that I really want to do because I want to be, to follow Christ. They see everything that they lose. They see everything that they have to sacrifice, all the crosses that they have to carry. What I'm hearing from you is, first of all, joy for having Christ as a friend and the abundance that comes from building that relationship. So my question to you now is, when you're working on this relationship, because you didn't get here, you didn't wake up one morning and you were like, I love Jesus. Jesus is my friend. When you look back, what do you think got you to this point? How did this happen? And actually, let's just start with that first. How did you get to this point? I'm not asking for your testimony story, because that's a very personal thing, I think. But I'm curious to know how, when you look at your life, the way you were before and the way you are now, how did you get to this point where you're looking at Jesus as your friend and you're happy for that and you're pouring now into your other friends that you have, like your brothers and sisters?
So you said it's a personal thing. I don't really believe it's personal. I think it's something that those who are willing to listen to.
I am willing to listen.
But my experience, my encounter with Jesus Christ was kind of dramatic. Well, I will not get deep into the details because we are talking about friendship, but I'm just going to be superficial about it in the sense where I just got, you said I didn't just get up one day. I literally just got up one day. I was sleeping. I just started feeling some kind of way. And for those who know this type of thing, they will understand how what I'm saying at a spiritual level. And on that very night, I used my lips and I confessed my sins and I said, the life I was living before, I was not a terrible person, but I was not a good person before God. Mm. And being a Christian, it's not that we're perfect. The perfection that what God expects from us is that constant struggle, fighting the good fight. Yes. And I made my vow that this is it. This is the end. I renew my life. I give surrender to Jesus Christ. I was saying things that I did not really understand. Till in time, as the faith kept growing, I came to knowledge of these things. But then again, drifting back to the friendly topic.
Yeah.
With my faith, I realized that when you study the Word of God, when you do your best to know God's message in the Bible, and through your own personal meditation, once you are trying to walk in the Spirit, you're not doing it just for yourself. You're doing it for Jesus Christ, who uses you to impact the lives of others. At times, you could have a friend who has an issue. It's true, we could be trying to maybe be there morally, physically, maybe financially, everything. But there are days where you could just say, listen, what I know so far is that Jesus Christ loves you. And no matter what you're going through, He is there for you. And if I am here myself, it's because I love you, thanks to the love He teaches me.
This is a thing, right? This is not the way you spoke when you were in GMC. This is not the way I remember you to be. What I'm curious about is, how did you, when you say you woke up one morning and did that and it just changed, I'm curious how the people around you took that.
Okay.
How did people around you deal with you, this new creature that you became?
You know, normally it's surprising. I mean, I had a couple of messages that when this started, I knew something was going on in my life. And I had to retreat somehow. I'm the type of person who usually I post things on my statues and people would describe me as a lively person. I was very lively. You see me posting gym stuff, you see me posting things and also stupid things, rubbish. So that could be very entertaining too, rubbish, but entertaining because many things that I would consider rubbish today entertain people a lot. So that ceased. and I wasn't as out as I used to be.
Yeah.
But then those who like really loved me came once in a while, would check on me. So what's up? Are you fine? I'm saying, I'm okay, I'm okay. Then that's how bit by bit I was posting on my status. I began talking about God, Jesus, and everything. You know, normally people are like, this guy, something with this guy.
I know exactly what you mean.
some people asked me, some people even came and I know three people came and asked me if I have AIDS. I was like,
wow.
What do you mean by AIDS? Because the way they think, to them, I was so sad. I was so...
That's interesting.
Mind. So that sudden change, this trouble was always making noise, happy, jumping and there. He became calm and reserved. Then he was speaking about the word of God. So many questions. Are you sick? No, I'm not sick. So why are you so this way? I mean, Trevor, let's go out. No, please. I need to be at home because I'm doing my stuff. I'm reflecting on the Bible. And I was very interested in reflecting on the Bible. And because it was an interesting saga. Let me say saga. It was very interesting. So I kept just seeking knowledge and stuff. So nothing was more important to me as that. Some even asked me questions like, you know, when you say these things, people are interested in this particular aspect. I will say in French, like my gym friends do, tell me, okay, don't try to interview as Jesus, eh?
Again, after Christ.
Do you mean that you're not doing again? I said, doing what? They said, doing. I said, anyway, I understood what they were trying to ask me. They were talking about fornication and all the like. I told them that when you follow Christ, there are certain things you don't do. And obviously, they are trying to dig, not to know, but
to expose you.
To expose me, good and fine. I understood that I had to retreat from those type of conversations. But those who were really interested came towards me and asked me, interesting questions that, you know, that this guy is trying to learn. So it was kind of up and down, and I soon realized that some people, once you say God, they are automatically defensive and angry. I have not figured it out, but for some, I think that they have had experiences in life where maybe they rely on God and what they expected did not happen as they wanted, and yeah. Suddenly they're like, this God thing, it's all a brainwashed stuff, and
Wow, Trevi. Yeah, the way I thank you for sharing that, because I am one of those people who came towards you with an interesting question, I think, and that was many, many months ago. Because at the time I was like, I know Trevor. Or at least I thought I knew Trevor. Because that's the thing, right? You think you know people because you spend time with somebody, you've gone school to them, with them, maybe you even married somebody, and you think you know them. But what I understand now is that the way God works, first of all, when people say salvation is personal, they usually take it as it's a selfish thing, but it's more of you would know more than anybody else what is happening inside of you, what is happening to your spirit. God would, you have that encounter, and it's a very personal encounter that basically defines the way you start moving in the world from that point on. And when I saw you posting, first of all, the way you went to the gym, you were a flexible dancer, thin guy who was just chill. Like you wear your thin shirts and everything. Like people see you now as like you don't. If you go back to gym and look at Trevor, you'd be like, this guy. This guy is the same guy with this big chest, and he's like, nah, this is a different person. And that's the thing. People see physical change. You know, when you work out, they see that physical change, that muscle they've put on. But it's like spiritual change. People are like, okay, so now you love God. So it means that you're not cheating anymore. You're not lying anymore. They don't ask you, oh, so you've stopped eating recklessly. You've stopped drinking beer. It's like people don't say that. It's like, but when it comes to choosing to follow Christ, it's a question of, so you think you're better than the rest of us. And I think this is my theory here, is that it comes from a place of misunderstanding. Because, and that what you said earlier about people who have had bad experiences, maybe not even with God directly, not even that personal experience, but with people who have stood and said they are Christians and have acted in ways that they thought a Christian should not be acting like this. A Christian should not be saying this kind of things. And what you're saying and what I'm understanding is that those who wanted to learn more, who really genuinely wanted to learn more, came towards you And you were able to discern those from people who were just trying to poke holes and be like, oh, so you think you're better than the rest of us, or you think that now you're different because you're no longer doing. And I'm curious to know how you handle those relationships, because I want to believe, and stop me if I'm wrong, that as a Christian, you want to, the way Christ did, he welcomed everybody. You know, he welcomed the people who were said to be not for Christ. Like, he was going towards the prostitutes and towards the thieves and towards the tax collectors. Now, you're not Christ, so let's put that there. But I'm curious to know how you dealt with people who were just out to, like, prove that you were wrong, or that you were in a phase. Like, how did you make that distinction? How do you handle people who were just trying to find out if you were wrong, and people who were genuine? Like, what's the difference there, and how did you deal with that?
You know, thanks be to God, I didn't face a lot of that. But because, and I was still giving praise to God through the Holy Spirit, because He provides wisdom. That discernment you spoke about, it's thanks to the Holy Spirit. You know where you're battling it, you know where it is. There are people I have continued talking about Christ. There are others, I just say it one time and I leave and go. Because what I have understood is that at the end of the day, it's not even me, the individual, me, Trevor, who convicts someone to follow Christ. I could, like St. Paul says in the Bible, some person plants the seed, another waters, but it's the Holy Spirit that makes it grow. So in that light, those I speak at the surface level, like what is certain is that Jesus is Lord and he loves everyone, and we are all called to get towards him. And in one way or the other, I reach those I will reach. I'm not a pastor, or I'm neither I don't know what I can say, but at my own level, I do what I can do. If God permits me to do something better, that would be great. So I'm not really bothered about what people say, because when you're in this situation, as you have guessed rightly, people are just waiting, like they just want to see you doing something that is off the track in what you're preaching. They're just there, like, you know, they're waiting.
And that's so sad, yeah.
This made me understand that with the questions people ask me, so you are saying you're not doing this. I understood that at the end of the day, many people know that being a Christian, you uphold some certain standards.
Mm-hmm.
Even those who are not Christians, they know that as a Christian, you uphold certain standards. Some deny being Christians or are kind of hesitant to get in because they believe that they can't uphold certain standards, and they are afraid to stop these things that they would love to continue doing, or they don't think they have in them the power to stop it. And it's true, they don't have in them the power to stop committing things that they know and they're not supposed to commit. That's why we are called to get to Christ. We die on the cross with him. Our body is mortified. We are renewed like he was risen from the dead. We are made new beings. And as such, through the Holy Spirit, we have power now to fight these things, these carnal temptations. And yes, so honestly speaking, I don't ponder much on how I will settle people who are trying to provoke me. Or because first of all, it's not as dominant as I think other people face.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm understanding here is that although that is happening to you, you're not giving the energy that you people think you might be giving it. And I'm wondering if that's something that spreads across, because, for example, you're in Cameroon and you're working, you're living, and the typical life in Cameroon is not, this is me being judgmental, let me first of all stop. I'm assuming here that people, the general adult could call themselves a Christian, but their actions don't match what they are saying they are actually following. And I would love to hear your opinion on this. And I really clarify your opinion, because like you said, you're not a priest, you're not a pastor, you're not a theologian. No, this is just two dudes who went to school together who are having a conversation. And on this path that I'm working on, and one thing that you said before I continue, you said the same thing to me when I was talking to you a couple of weeks ago about how it's not you who spoke to me, it was the Holy Spirit in me that with the seed that you planted that brought that up. Like all these people who at one point or the other shared something or give me perspective that allowed me now to get to this point myself. And you're right. It happens in one moment, in one instant. You start seeing things very differently. So I'm wondering what your take is on what it takes to be a good Christian in this day, this age and time. And I say good because I don't first of all believe that there's good or bad Christians. You're either a Christian or you aren't. That's my own take. So on your own path, as you're working through this path and you're building these relationships, you know, work, family, friendship, what are some things that you've learned or picked up on or Bible places in the Bible where you say, this is where you find strength to keep following Jesus, even though you have all these surrounding things around you. You have people who are maybe doubting you, people who are tempting you, people who are not understanding how difficult this path is, people who are just trying to make it difficult, sometimes unintentionally. So what are some of the things that you've done, some of the paths, the ways that you've dealt with it, or some of the prayers that you've had to, you know, go on your knees and be like, God, I need help with this. How have you been able to keep going on this path? Because I'm sure it's not an easy one.
Okay, so you asked the question like some people, just trying to, you're saying that more or less like some people are just Christians just by name. They are not intently Christians. I think you asked something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
I'll come with an argument I had with someone. He told me that because he was saying that, how are we certain that all these things of God, Jesus, is the real deal? Like he said, he's a Christian just because he was born in a Christian family. I'm like, all right. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. Some people are Christians just because they came and met their Christian family and they just became Christians. They go to church by obligation. They go to church because they think that as a human being, there's a need to worship something. But that's not it. When you are a full-grown Christian, you know that you are certain with it in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord. It's just through him, you are made right before God. And the perspective changes. It changes people. I'll not go as far as saying this person. I'll talk about me. I am fully aware that I'm changed. I'm fully aware that I'm changed. Yes, and it's for the better. The Christian life, it's one. My mom used to tell me that when those days when she would tell me things about Christianity, I'm like, all right.
I remember you. I was like, I remember it's wasted. I remember this conversation. We used to have this conversation a while ago. Yeah.
So she should tell me that the Christian life teaches you how to live your life here on earth. Teaches you how to live your life here on earth. That's a Christian life, and that is it. The Christian life teaches you how to see Christ in any other person, how to love any other person, and how to better express this love to another person. That is it. So you asked another question about difficulties, challenges I might face from the Christian, everything. I mean, you know, when I earlier said that once you are a Christian, you are made anew, you are changed. That is true. Because you now wrestle with yourself. Your body wants this, your spirit does not want it, your spirit either wants this or that. So there's a constant battle. We all experience it. And the wayward life that I lived before, it's not like the page is completely turned. Yes, we say you have turned the page, but it's still there somehow. Like the body keeps bringing those things back. And that's how you keep fighting and fighting. But then I've had my own share of difficult moments, financially, this and that. But there is this Psalms that I really love. It's Psalms 46, where God is telling us that God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not be afraid, even if the earth is shaken and mountains fall into the ocean depths, even if the seas roar and rage and the hills are shaken by the violence. You see the hyperbolic description he has given. I mean, like, what that sky coming to ground, what is happening, once you know that God is your shelter and your strength, not that you will not be afraid, but you'll be certain that no matter what happens to you, it is God's divine will, and he will uplift you by it. You are certain of that. And then he continues saying that, what does he say? And on verse 10, so stop fighting. He says, God says, I know that I am God. Once you are certain of the divine presence of God in your life, thanks to you accepting the sacrifice Jesus made for you, your sins, your past sins, present and future sins, you know that God is with you and the Holy Spirit is working through your life. He even does things that you have not even thought of. He even does things that you don't even plan. But at the end of the day, you are like, I am here. Praise the Lord. That is for those who are lucid. Some people, they have blessings. They don't even as much as say thank you, Lord.
I know one of the things that I experienced when I basically became born again was I used to pray and just cry because I was like, I was doing all these things and God was still watching over me. Because clearly, I was one of those people, I called myself a Christian. I was born in a Christian home. I went to Catholic school 7 years. Everything. Church, Sunday, church, Wednesday, everything, benediction, all the things. But there was always a part of me that was like, come guy, you know you're just doing this because everybody's doing it. You're not really into it. And then when I finally understood, when I had that moment, that encounter, what came to me was like, wow, so God was still with me this whole time. Even when I was not looking towards him, he was still watching over me. Because I look at my life, I'm like, all these things that I survived is clearly not by my doing. He was still watching over me, this unbeliever, basically. And I was just apologizing for not listening. And I was like, you know what? For the rest of my life now, I'm going to be going after you with everything that I have. And it's going to be for you, all of it. So what I'm hearing too is like, it seems when you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it becomes easy to keep coming back, to keep, you know, falling and stumbling and coming back. And for someone who is listening or watching, who is like, these guys are talking this whole faith, you know, Christ thing, this Jesus thing, like, yeah, it's not for me. I'm curious what you say to somebody who says that, who is not just, you know, being negative. They're just like, I haven't seen any evidence. Yeah.
I want to make something clear about this falling and coming back. You know, mm-hmm. How many people will say that, Jesus loves me, he has died for my sins, and I am safe and everything. And if I do this sin, it has been washed away. The difference between the born again Christian, the Christian who truly loves God, is that he hates to sin. He hates sin. What I'm saying is, yes, he still sins, but he hates it with all his heart. He strives not to sin. He keeps on, he's trying not to sin. But someone who doesn't really love God, but has that information that Jesus has already died for his sins, he's like, I mean, let's relax, let's chill. Sin is not really a big deal for him. He has not understood the weight of sin. It doesn't annoy him. You see someone who truly loves God, when he sins, their reaction is different. He might not really cry in front of you, but he is pained deep inside. Yeah. He is like, God, forgive me, it has happened. But he's certain that he knows, like the other person who is just there, he knows that God has forgiven him for his sin. But if you are not troubled by the sins you commit, there's something wrong. And I'm not talking about like serious sins, you can't slaughter someone's neck, no. I'm talking about as the simple sin that people think that lying is a simple thing. So let us say simple.
Is that a simple sin? I feel like a sin is a sin.
I feel that, I mean, like lying is just a small sin. But even that small sin of lying, you are disturbed. I know people who have kept secret like lies within them. They have wrestled with it over the years, and at the end of the day, they gave up. They're like, I cannot live with this thing. I must go and confess it. That is a true Christian value. Some people can keep that lie within them till they die. They're like, we'll never be out. Stop. So it's if we are tilting these things towards friendship,
yeah,
and you are the moderator.
I keep trying. Yeah, I, you know, the thing is, you and I have talked about so many things, and the reason why you're here today is because I value you as a friend, and even more so now on this journey, because I'm looking at people who are walking their own journey, you know, they're walking their own path, but they're still able to give perspective and advice. And for me, the people that I consider friends are people that I'm counting on, people that I want to call and be able to like, hey, I'm struggling with this thing. You know, how can you think about this? And now I find myself praying for my friends, like actually being like, okay, God, you know what's going on here? Like, you know what's happening with this person? Like, I just want to intercede for him or her. And I never used to be like that. And I think it's something that changed for me recently where I realized, and one of the things, and let me go sideways and come back, is that Christians used to say this thing a lot to me, like people that I know for a long time who've been on that path, who are really working hard to be better, to be Christians. They would say things like, you know, just pray about it, or I'll pray for you. And I used to be like, why didn't you just send me money? Why didn't you just give me advice? Why didn't you just tell me what I should... but now it holds so much value. And I guess my question for you is, how have you changed the way you appear in friendships? You've already made mention of it. You know, you talk about Jesus, and that, you know, if you see the love that Jesus has for you, and you try to bring that love in those relationships, all those relationships. I'm curious now if there are other ways that you've seen yourself change as a friend in your relationships with other people who are in with friendships.
So I would continue from what I was saying, where I was talking about how important it is for us to truly know God, because God's message is awesome. So you see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it says that God's message speaks to people and gives them help, encouragement, and comfort. I mean, which good friend would not like to provide help, encouragement, and comfort?
That's a good point. I have the NIV here. It says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort.
Good. Yeah. That is it. Speak about the word of God for that, for all of that. And you see that it brings a different perspective where I made mention of the word compassion. You are much more compassionate towards your friend. Let's talk about friend. And you want to see them succeed. I was watching a video by this late pastor, and he said these are some of the characteristics he gave of a friendship, of a friend. He said a friend is a treasure, one who loves you as you are, who sees not only who you are, but what you can become, one who is there to catch you when you fall, one with whom you can share your everyday experiences, one who accepts your worst, but helps you to be your best. Someone who understands your past, believes in your future. One who is there even when all is against you. I mean, definitely. And all of that is encompassed around what team? Love. And how does the Bible describe love? We are still on 1 Corinthians. He says that, Paul says that, love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Listen, and its faith, that is the faith that is in love, the hope that is in love, and the patience that is in love never fails. He proceeds by saying, love is eternal. What did Jesus say when they asked him about the ultimate thing, that the highest commandment? It was all about love. Love God with all your heart, all your soul. Then he says that the second highest commandment continues like it's love your neighbor as yourself. It's about love. It starts with love. Because once you love someone, you do your best not to hurt them or offend them. You could teach them, but you are teaching them out of love. When I'm saying teaching, I'm just going to say punish them.
It's nice they bring that word, because I was thinking, when you were speaking, I'm thinking, how are we even taught to love as children, as African parents, like in Cameroon? When you say love, it's like, I don't even know if my parents love me. I understand that they love me, but the expression of that love is interesting.
I mean, here in Africa, I mean, it's weird. I'm a Christian, that is true, but man, I beg, never tell me that, bro, I love you. That is so
bro, I love you, by the way.
Because these guys over there, they just say it. I'm like, okay, that's nice.
You see, that's an interesting point for a very different question, but I think that's something that we need to address and change, because there's this lack of vulnerability that covers those struggles, because sometimes that's all somebody wants to hear. And, you know, sometimes like your mother will be upset at you. You maybe you had an argument, and then she will not tell you that, like, I'm sorry, or she just cook food and say, come on, eat. So it's really, I guess, well, as I'm thinking about it, beyond that, right? Yeah, it's cultural. It's about understanding the people and really getting the night. But if you have faith and you're patient with somebody, then you start seeing them differently. You start observing their actions. It's really interesting, because now you talk about love, about being a friend and loving it. The way I'm looking at it for myself, like, have I actually been a good friend?
Yeah. You know, and have I actually, yeah. This verse that I just mentioned, if you will.
Yeah.
And condense it as much as we can. He said, love is patient and kind. You see, to be patient and kind is underrated. Eh? That is the, I mean, can I say, can we speak like we speak out of this? That is the shit. Patient and kind is the shit. It's not easy. Eh? People think it's easy. It's not easy to be patient and kind. So, I mean, having been in a situation where you know what you know, like, let's say you have to do a certain task with a good friend. And the guy is just pulling you guys behind, and he's so,
nonchalant.
What's happening? He doesn't, the level, that is, you understand this particular situation better than he does. Most of the time, we forget to be compassionate towards one, because compassion too is also understanding the person's situation, where you know that, okay, this person is limited in this area. So you say, but how can you not know this thing? Whereas you, perhaps, you have known it because probably you have always had interest in it. Like, okay, our friends who are really, really, when it concerns technology, they don't just understand. Like, they could just read that. Do you want to delete? You will not see it. You'll be like, well, they delete here. Those kind of things used to annoy me seriously. I'm like, well, I said, can't you just look here? You're seeing it and everything. But being the way I am now, I am trying. I'm not yet there. I am trying to be calm, to be patient, and to be kind towards the lackings of my friends. It is not easy, but it is very important. He says, love is not jealous or conceited or proud. Yes, at times we could be low-key jealous without even realizing it. Let's say you are just there, things are not moving the way you expect them to move. In fact, the train has never started for you. The train is just there on the back. But some other person, your friend, he keeps striving and going ahead. Someday you might be like, what's happening? Like, it can happen. I have a good friend who told me, like, I could never imagine that he could feel like that in his life. But luckily enough, he's a very good person. But he admitted it to me in a subtle way. That was a moment where he felt threatened with, like, him not seeing the way he's moving ahead, whereas I presumably was moving ahead. Then I was like, okay.
It takes a lot to really admit that kind of thing, because most people will not even tell you.
Because he's a nice person. I have a series of friends, they're not really close friends, but let's just say people I interact with them at a distance.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jealousy amongst them. A lot of joy. But you see them, hello, bro, how far? Everything, the girls, like, hey, baby. But when you listen to what this person comes to and tell you about that person, that person, whatever, you're like, hey, this is serious. And it's not only when I became a full blown Christian that I've seen this type of things, but it happens in many instances. Then again, we are called to, in our love, we are not ill mannered, we are not selfish, we are not irritable. And we don't keep record of wrongs.
Yeah.
How many times will you say, last time you did not do that, last time you're doing this, last time you're that, last time you... It's not cool. It is very difficult. That's why I used to say that Christ has told us to live like him. And the things he has asked us are very simple things. Very simple things, but very challenging. It's not easy to keep your cool vis-a-vis...
Oh, it's not. I mean,
imagine you have a friend who maybe you engage in let's say some, what example can I give here? Maybe you were supposed to do a business together And he goes back. He does something very naive, like they steal the money or something. Some people will be very mad at their friend and will probably never forgive their friend. They'll probably never forgive their friends. And with that now, we don't even have the opportunity, because at times, by our humbleness, by our
humility
and our prayer life, we can make people see what they are supposed to do and come closer to that team of love, which expands towards the friendliness.
Just makes, yeah, it just builds that bond even better. And someone even just left a comment here. Destiny Love says, that's a very great point. It's interesting how some people view vulnerability as weakness, whereas it's an underrated strength. You know, like what you talk about, kindness and patience and compassion. And to be able to, I'm even thinking, man, I'm thinking that it's difficult to give those things when you don't have them. And to your point about Christ's love for us and how Christ is compassionate and kind and doesn't keep record of wrong, like the fact that we get, that we fall and falter and get back up, that's basically God not keeping a record of wrongs. Because if he was doing what we're doing, we will not be able to go back. We'll not be able to struggle and ask for forgiveness. So it, to me, it seems like for us to be able to love our friends, we have to, first of all, recognize Christ's love. And then we can actually give from that source, because by ourselves, we'll not be able to do it.
He teaches us. He teaches you to, maybe you could have your salary and like, oh, let me think about this, my friend. I can pull out some 5K, some 10,000 or something. I just give it to him. He teaches you, even if it's your partner, your loved one, you're like, okay, while I'm going back home today from work, I could buy her these flowers, or I could buy her this shoe she loves. I could buy her this delicacy she loves. I mean, God teaches us how to love with intention. You could, yes, yes. There are some people who are not Christians that are like, God, I beg behind, who demonstrate these virtues we're talking about. That is very true. I accept it. But then, when you are with God, these virtues are made a lot more important than how empty they could be when you do them without having Christ in your life. That is what me, as a Christian, is saying.
You know, I would have these conversations before. I think I've had one of these, maybe 2016. I don't remember when I was actually talked about this kind of chat, like friendship. But what I'm understanding today with what you're sharing about that, because all your points keep pointing to the Bible and how important it is to know Christ, how important it is to understand that love, because with him, everything is possible. And without him, not only things are impossible, but they're just like, it's just a struggle. And it's a wasted struggle for that matter. At least struggle. I feel like you should have the good fight that Paul talks about, like that battle between the flesh and the spirit. At least it's worth it. You know, it's like when somebody, a friend tells you something and you can feel that anger coming out. You can feel like, what's happening? Why are you so stupid? And then you have to remember, or you have to, in that moment, I feel like it's only God who can give you that. You take a deep breath and you're like, okay, that was a stupid thing that you did, but how do we figure it out? How can we do it next time? How can we work on it? It takes a lot. It takes a lot as an individual. But then when you have Christ, I don't know, that lot is much more, it's like cool. I'm trying to imagine it in a way. It's like, yeah, it's a lot, but it's worth it. It's worth it.
So people should question themselves, like, what type of friend are they to those they call friends? Because if you sit and you are always like, I don't have a friend, I mean, to me that is very sad, because it connotes to the idea that you could be a very bad person. Because I've seen people who say that they are not lucky with friendship. Their friends always disappoint them. Their friends are hypocrites. Their friends are this and this. So I'm tempted to ask, okay, so who are you? Are you that perfect person? I don't think so. And then the reason why it's also important to abide by Christ is because with him, when we talk about being lucid, you are lucid enough to see and know where you should start a friendship or not. because you cannot be friends with
discernment.
Yes, you cannot be friends with anybody. You'll be taking a risk to go and be a friend with someone who says he doesn't believe in God, whereas you are trying to uplift your faith. It's just risky. Not that it is, you can't do it, but and okay, you have a friend whose life is typically going out, sleeping with men or sleeping with women, coming back home, drugs. When the moment you want to be like, oh, thank God for the life, please, this is a thing of God, limited to your space, not here and everything. That already, if you were to bring it down to logic, logically, you'll be disturbed.
Yeah.
Psychologically, you'll be disturbed because you keep toning down when you are with that person. You are making sure you are not saying things about God. You are not saying thank God just as much as thank. Some people don't like saying thank. When you say thank God, they're like, yeah, I mean, you clearly worked hard. Why are you thanking God for?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I understand what you mean here, and we have a comment. Destiny, like, thank you for this question. That what you said. I want to just comment on that, Trevor. That thank you God. It's like I found myself recently. You know, people used to say thank you for this, thank you for that, but I'm like, no, don't thank me. Thank God who provided. And I used to say in the beginning, well, it felt weird. But now I'm like, no. Logically speaking, I didn't do anything to deserve this. I might have done some stuff and, you know, done some work, but it's not from me. It's from God. I am just the instrument of this particular... I may have come to your life and done something, but it's not me. And yeah, I just like to look at things like that from that point. Like, you need to know logically and be able to discern who are you hanging out with. Because... you're the average of the city, you're the average of the five people you hang around with. Now on the internet, you're the average of the five, I don't know, blogs you read or Instagram accounts you follow or whatever. So let's go ahead. Let me read Destiny Love's question here. I'm curious, what is your take on cancel culture amongst friends, loved ones, or family? Do you support ending friendships if, when the person hurts you, or it depends on the situation? I have my perspective on this, but Trevor, I would love to hear yours if you're interested in sharing what you think.
About the ending...
yeah, do you stop actively cut a relationship, you know, end a situation? It's like, you know what? I don't think this is working. You are having a negative effect on me. You don't believe in my values. For example, let me give you an example. I'm just me. You want to follow Christ. You know, like that colleague, that friend that was like, no, don't talk about God to me. Like, I don't want to hear any of that. Like, would you end that actively, or would you be just, you know, would you just take your distance? Like, how would you handle that? But even before I go there, when the person hurts you, or it depends on the situation. Actually, I have my perspective, but Trevor, just what do you think?
Okay, so to start with, we'll get back to this patience that we talked about previously.
Yeah.
Before that, even. So is it clear the person is a friend? Okay, if the person is a friend and you love the person, that it depends if the person loves you too. And at times, as we earlier mentioned, you have to be patient with certain people as a Christian. But then, as we earlier mentioned, and we laughed at it together, it's not easy. It is not easy to be patient. But now, at the same time, you know that God loves you. And he is in there. He doesn't want to let you in situations where you are just going to hurt. That's why it's important to hold your meditation with God and ask him for divine guidance to know what step and move you could do. Because we are human beings, we are limited. We don't know what happens to us in the next 5 seconds as we are speaking. We don't know in the next 5 minutes as we are speaking. We don't know what happened to either of us when we leave this place. We don't know. But God, we know that God is almighty. He knows everything from beginning to end. And that's why it's important to rely on him. Father, this is this friend. I love him or I love her, but he or she keeps hurting me. I don't even want to hear my own perspective, how hurt I feel when this or this and that happens. But then again, this is something that should be very clear. This is where I would say to me, this is very simple to answer. Nothing comes before God. Don't think. If I have a friend who I realize that in my effort to be patient with him keeps pulling me back in my Christian faith, because at times, by our own nature, we are not, some people are not that strong. They don't have that
strong mind. Yeah.
Don't have willpower. Others have stronger willpower than others.
Yeah.
Because of my weak willpower, I keep stumbling on things I wouldn't love to stumble on just because I am still attaching myself to this friendship. So you step back, look at your God, you know how important he is to you, and this friendship that is putting you away, you pray for that friend, that Father, I'm going to end this relationship because nothing, what did you just say? If a hand crosses you to sin, cut them. An eye, flush it out. It's not literally talking about the hand, but it's like those things that make you to sin, you put them away because you love God. You don't want to sin, you don't want to offend him. At times, see people doing things just because they want to please others. Okay, I know that if my friend calls me out, calls me on Saturday night, that, okay, let's go party. If I refuse to go, he will not be happy with me. Let me just do it for him. Or maybe I have my boyfriend. He's so caring. He loves me, attention, everything, and he wants sex. But, oh, my God, what can I do? He deserves it. My brother or my sister. Pull up. He or she beats me. I don't know if the hurt is physical. For me, that's even the worst. What, even the mental pains that get into it. Because at times, even the pains you inquire from these things that supposed loved ones do to you.
It's not love.
You are pedals on your Christian fellowship. At times, these emotional damages that these loved ones do to you, friends or whatever, they could make you to relent on your efforts towards your chase to
be with Christ and to follow Christ, yeah. And
establish that God is the most important. You can cut off, and while you're cutting off, because you are a Christian and you care for him, though you are separate, Lord, take care of him. Teach him that these ways are not the best for him. He can't keep hurting people over and over. And you go your way, God will do his thing. Maybe in 5 days' time, he will text you like, I am very sure what I've done. You never know when the Holy Spirit works on somebody. You never know. You said you are surprised that Ishan was talking about God. You didn't hear myself. I'll just tell you my life. Relaxing. Chilling. Stop. So you never know. You can just pray for the person and you continue your life. It is okay to live your life with the problems you have and with the people you cut off from your life. It is very okay because the very God, again, will put the right people on your path. Maybe you had some of this friendship when you're not really with God and you had ungodly friendship and you might realize it's time to slash them out.
Yeah, so, maybe you're unequally yoked and it's time for you to understand that iron sharpens iron, and that is why at work, at my job, we actually pray. And by the way, Destiny Love, I hope that I don't think there's anything for me to add on this, Trevor. You've spoken well, and you've even given me perspective because I was looking at it from the human side of things. And what you've said makes a lot of sense because when your eyes are on God, the way you think and the way you see the world is different. Because I was going to ask, like, you know, what does it mean for someone to hurt you? What does it mean for, because the cancel culture is like, it's not loving. You know, it's not love. And when you're watching, when your eyes are on Christ, the way you look at everything changes. The way you even argue with people, you know, the way you reprimand people, the way you say, okay, I don't like what you did. It's full of love. It doesn't mean that you now become a doormat. People climb on you. People do whatever they want. No. But the way you interact with people, the way you express yourself, the way you express, even when you're upset, because you're a human being, you have feelings. It doesn't mean that now you just explode or just be like, all right, I don't like you. I mean, you just cut people off. But what you've said makes a lot of sense, man. I appreciate your answer. It's very, very Christ-minded. And that's something that I need to work a lot more on. So, yeah. Thank you. And we're almost at the hour. I think we've talked a lot about this. There might be some things that I've missed. I haven't asked you. So, before I ask the last question on the podcast, is there something that you would like to talk about that I did not bring up into this conversation?
Moving up and down, I don't know. I wrote some things here.
Yeah, because I know that you have a lot of
I would just like to emphasize on the on this aspect of loving, having a being that gift from God. A friend is a gift from God. You as a friend, you are a gift from God to another person. That's how the other person too should be a gift from God towards you. It should be as simple as that. And if we want to be perfect gifts, if we want to emulate ourselves as that gift that God has put in us, if we want to be that treasure to those we call friends, we ought to follow Christ. Because, as we earlier said, by following Christ, he teaches us how to love. He teaches us how to be better friends. He gives us, have you ever been with someone you're like, for me right now, I have someone, my partner, she's a friend too.
Mm-hmm.
That's someone I would say, this is really a God-given friendship. Before I've been talking about relationship, all those things. This is a God-given friendship. And I testify to her friendliness towards those she considers friends. She emulates it. And if I am talking like this, it's also because through my experience with her, her being a Christian too, I see how it's like through her, I've been watching the movie God once has designed for us. I see how a true Christian emulates that love that Christ gives to us and which is we ourselves spread towards others. Because while we are following Christ, we're not doing it just for ourselves. We're doing it for him who uses us to spread the message and the love to others. And as such, the world can be a better place full of true, authentic friends. If everyone says, look, I am committing to Christ, not just because of myself, I want to help me, but because I want to bless someone with all what Christ has given me. And the Bible says again that when God blesses you with, let's talk about financially now, it's not just for you. It is for you to show the glory of God by also helping others with it. So it's not just about, people think that charity is about, oh, okay, I save this 20K or 100,000 and donate to offer. No, charity is you spreading the love that God has given to you to another. That love. Yes, that is charity. He extends to that and is as elastic as we could never imagine. The day you meet someone who truly emulates you, you bend down and say, God. Wow.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Yeah, this is like you're basically advising, not even, is the word admonishing? I don't know if that's a word, but what I'm hearing here is you have to strive to be a true Christian and to express that love and to let God use you to bless others.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting from this. Yeah. Man, I'll just ask the last question. I really don't like to have this for too long, for more than an hour, but I'm sure you'll be back. We'll probably talk more about it because we told you like 1% of everything. So the last question here, Trevor, is how would you like to be remembered?
That is if I die or after this podcast.
Not if, when, because we all die. I mean, this physical body will be in the end.
I haven't thought much about it, but if I'm to be spontaneous in the answer, I would say I would like to be remembered as, though it's going to sound like a very easy answer, but it's just the truth. I like to remember that someone who has trusted Jesus Christ, loved God with all his heart, and has not only been in that phase, but emulated all of that through his works with others. Yes.
I like it.
As for me, it's not easy because I am struggling with being compassionate. I am struggling with it. I'm seriously struggle, but I know that thanks to God, he will inspire me and keep teaching me on new ways to be, to identify those moments where I need to express love to someone who is in need, even if it's not a friend. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, man. We've had some, you know, people watching and saying hello and asking how I'm doing. I'm great, brother. Loved your question, Destiny Love. It was a nice comment and question. And even Rashimi said, on point, Nasako. Hey, I know who this is. And I think Destiny was laughing at your question. Like, do you want to remember after this podcast or what? So, thank you so much, man. And I know you're not, I don't know if your graphic design life is behind you. We didn't even brush on that yet. But where can people find you if they want to see more of, apart from your WhatsApp status where we are enjoying your scripture, but they'll not get your number anyway. Where can people find you more online? That's if you even want to be found in the first place, because that's.
I'm not active online because when we talk about the graphic design thing, for now it is a side thing.
Yeah.
And I have other objectives that thanks
of course. Much, yeah.
It's kind of
awesome. Man, this has been great for me. And please don't go. We need to talk a little bit after this. But I'm going to end our conversation here for today. For those who are watching, please go ahead and like this video if you're watching on YouTube or you're listening to a recording. It helps the channel. Subscribe to the channel if you have not. If you're listening on Spotify, you can leave a comment. You can let me know what you think. You can say, hey, Kamga, please ask better questions. Or Kamga was crying the whole time and I love it. So, you know, either way, I'm looking forward to the comments. And really, I'm grateful for you, Trevi. You're my bro, and I love you. I know you don't like me saying that, but like you said, you've expressed that love in a way, and I'm not just saying this for you to climb on your coattails. Like for me, before I came to know Christ the way that I do now, you were still expressive of that. You were reaching out in your own way, and you were understanding. It's like you send me these verses, and you know when it's like, oh yeah, you send me all these verses, and then I'll be like, yeah, I haven't read it, and you'll be like, all right, cool. So you exhibited that patience that you're talking about, and for that I appreciate it. So thank you for being a friend and being a brother, and I'm very, very grateful for our relationship. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time being here. This is my first ever podcast.
Hey, this is nice. I'm glad to hear that. I'm very happy to. Yeah.
Something was sparked from this.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for everyone watching, and we'll see you on the next one. In the meantime, don't forget to pray and seek Christ and just get closer and closer to Him, because He has a vision for every single one of us, and He knows you better than anybody can. So, yeah. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.
That's the outro song, right?